John 19. Would you go there as we're in our series? And well, what a good morning. Amen. And we have been talking about the sayings of Christ on the cross. No wonder one of the soldiers said, "Never man spake like this man." I'm glad for the day he spoke to me. I'm glad that he called me by his grace. We spoke first of all about forgiveness. That's the most beautiful word. Ain't nothing better in this world for you to know that you're forgiven. And then we spoke about salvation. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The most essential word. If you don't get saved, you're on your way to hell. Then last week we talked about why. The most mysterious word. We sometimes go through valleys and go through all kinds of things and we can't see the purpose. But can I tell you, his purpose for dying was for you. But today, I want to talk about the most human word. And that is the word, I thirst. And it's only mentioned one time in the four Gospels, and it's found in the Gospel of John. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, it was about 3:30, had been on there for 6 hours, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there were a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. I want to talk about this picture this morning. And everything I'll be talking about, Brother Chad, I'll be talking about his human suffering. I mentioned last week, I've got two doctors here. There's a doctor in Huntington that preaches or teaches this. I wish I had him here to share what really this is all about. But Jesus Christ suffered every flesh wound common to man. Beat the flesh off his back. Was beaten to a pulp. Isaiah said they couldn't even recognize him. Somebody help me here this morning. This is the place where we sinners come to get the Savior's righteousness. This place called Calvary is where we bring our bitter experiences and find his sweetness. It is a place where we bring our despair and we find the Savior's assurance. We bring our doubts and he shows us life. We bring our lack of hope and he shows us hope everlasting. May I say to you, when he said, I thirst, he was 100% God. But ladies and gentlemen, he was 100% man. Don't listen to somebody that tells you he was 50-50. He was not. Total man, total God. The Son of Man, or Son of God, became the Son of Man, that we who are the Son of Man can become the sons of God. What an ironic statement. Have you ever thought about this statement, Lois, how ironic it is? He says, I thirst. The one that made the fountains and the waters and the rivers said, I thirst. The one that made the oceans and the wells and all the reserves said, I thirst. The one who sent the rain down to parched earth said, I thirst. The one that told the woman at the well, the water you have, if you drink it, you'll thirst again. But the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. The one that said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yet on the cross, he said, I thirst. Now here's the question. Why did he thirst? Can I give you three things? And I promise you I won't be long. But I want you to focus. Please focus. Because it was all for you. Amen. Number one, Jesus was thirsty because of how he suffered. He suffered as a God-man. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. It is said that, see, the Jews would beat him 39 stripes. Romans didn't hold to that. His whipping was at least 1,040 stripes. Hello? All for you. He was mocked. And I've been to Israel and I've seen the thorns, and those thorns were planted on his head. He was spit on. He was treated like trash. He went through trial after trial. Made him carry his own cross. Fluids draining out of his body. 6 hours of grueling crucifixion. And he said, I thirst. How he suffered, but not only how he suffered, how he surrendered. He said, I laid down my life. Nobody made him do it. He voluntarily done it. Somebody help me preach. He left the portals of heaven, went into the womb of a virgin, became man that he might suffer the death and hell for you and I, and said, I thirst. And that's the most human word. Because I want to tell you something. You can do without food maybe several days, but you can't do without water for very long. I've seen folks do it maybe up to 5 days. But that's max. And if by the grace it might have reached 7. But normal people usually die at 3 or 4. Yet he thirsted. And then thoroughly he subdued as a man. Not just physical suffering. Do you think that was all he suffered there? No, he had a battle on the cross against the devil. He had a demonic horde there trying to get it done another way and bypass the cross. His battle was against Satan. His battle was against sin. Somebody help me preach. He had 3 hours of sunlight. Can you imagine doctors in the room in that heat amongst all that blood? How his fluids drained. And then he had 3 hours of darkness and wind blowing on that same body. Suffering. In miserable pain. And you said, why? It's for you. Amen. Y'all still with me? The Bible says this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through his death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those there who through fear of death. Somebody help me preach. He defeated or subdued, and the devil right there on the cross. Yes, the devil got his heel. But he stomped the devil right in the head. And sometimes we sit back and we hear this, and well, I've heard that story before. God help every one of us. Number two, I see Jesus thirsted also because of how he secured. See, when all things were accomplished, he said, I thirst. We'll deal with the word, it is finished, but I want to tell you the bill was paid. Victory was won. He said, I thirst. So you don't have to thirst. Let me give you three things that he secured for you. Number one, he secured the provision of salvation. Don't let anybody tell you that God chose some to be saved and some to be lost. That's a lie. He wants everybody to be saved. And by the way, he provided a sacrifice for all sinners. Colossians says this, I liked it. And it pleased the Father that all fullness dwell in him. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I saith, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, he paid the price. Listen to this. This makes me want, I wish I could rhyme right now. He secured the prophecy of his coming. Now, Shane here, you're a mathematician, so you might want to stand and tell us what this means in a minute. I hate to put you on the spot. There was 380 prophecies of him coming, 60 major prophecies around the cross. And when he said, I thirst, he accomplished the scripture. Now, if only 8 of those prophecies, now listen to me carefully. Let me show you the impossibility of just 8 of them, not 60 or not 360, being fulfilled. Shane, you ready? You ready? Here it is. The probability is 1 in 100. 000, 000, 000, 000, and 000. What is that? That's all right. 1 in 100, 000, 000, 000. You still with me, Shane? 000 and 000. Come on, help me. Hey, how many believe that's a lot? When you get it all, what is it? One quintillion. I have no clue what that is. But that's a lot of property. But let me make it to where you can understand it. Anybody been to Texas? How many? Big state, isn't it? You put silver dollar bills over, or silver dollar coins all over Texas, a foot deep, and put one coin in the middle. And then Allison give you the chance to go find the coin. What's the likelihood? 1 in whatever you said. Yet, yeah. He filled every last one of them. And there's a crowd that said, we can't trust the Bible today. There's a crowd that says, the Bible's not secure and the Bible's not there for us today. I say that's a lie. Amen. You can trust the Word of God. You can trust the Bible. And it has been fulfilled, and it did fulfill. If you're here lost, you can trust that. Amen. And he also secured the propitiation of sin. I'm getting close. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love. You want to know what love is? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. You said, would you explain what that is? He made the payment of sin, and in doing so, he appeased the wrath of God. Whew. Somebody help me preach. And satisfied the wrath of God, that God was holy and that God had to judge sin. Now listen to this. In this, God can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. Amen. Somebody ought to say up and shout. Amen. I thirst. Last thing, I'm done. Lois, you can head to the piano. It won't take a moment. Whew. Am I helping anybody? Amen. Is anybody here thrilled about what he done? Why don't we praise him more? Why don't we honor him more? Why don't we shout anymore? Why don't we love him anymore? Why don't we serve him harder? Jesus was there and he thirsted. I really want you to get this, and I'm done, because of how he sympathized. He first of all sympathized for the sorrows of humanity. There's many of you, I've pastored you for years, and I know what many of you have been through. How many know sometimes in your life you suffered sorrow? Sure. Not a person in this room that hadn't suffered sorrow. And him thirsting was sympathizing with your sorrow. How many people in this last just 2 years have I buried in this church? And folks become widows and widows. How many people in this room has fallen to hard times, has sicknesses that are terrible, that's broke your heart and brought you to sorrow? But can I tell you, there is one that hung on Calvary that experienced your sorrow, so one day we can all experience joy. We can even experience joy in the midst of our trouble. He sympathized not only with the sorrows of humanity, but sympathized for the souls of men. How many here saved? Raise your hand. He died for your soul. There's something that couldn't raise your hand. Can I tell you, he's sympathizing with you. Do you think he's standing up there and wants you to go to hell? No, he put your sin on the cross. He suffered for you. And he sympathizes. He's right now saying, oh my God, I don't want him to die and go to hell. I want you to know, and I'll bring it down real practical, and I'm done. He's sympathizing with everybody in this service. He's looking over this grand crowd and looking at your heart, and he's sympathizing with you. If you're a Christian, he's sympathizing with the pain you're suffering right now, the hurt. But you lost man, he's up there right now sympathizing. Loving sin, I want this. I don't want that sinner to die and go to hell. I don't want that adult gentleman to go to hell. I don't want that child to go to hell. I don't want that teenager to go to hell. I love them. I care for them. I want them so badly. I love them. Yeah, amen. His heart is broken for you. I have served at several funerals lately. And I watch the families, their hearts so broken. But some of our peoples left while they were still real young. And their families were hurting. But can I tell you, He took your hurt. He took your agony. He took everything that you face. And believe it or not, you might not feel like anybody cares, but I want all you to know, He does. Amen. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you couldn't raise your hand to say you was a Christian a moment ago, but you see how much God loves you, how many right now would say, Preacher Smith, I want to be saved before I die. I want to know Christ. You mean He loves me that much? I don't want to die lost. Teenager, mom, dad, young person, grandpa, grandma, He loves you. Is there at least one, two, three? Let's up your hand and say, I don't want to go to hell. I want His salvation. Would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me? God bless that hand. I see you, ma'am. God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else? And I don't want to, but I wouldn't embarrass the one that raised your hand, but look up at me, if you would you? Would you like to be saved? Why don't you come? Not ready yet? Will you do me a favor? Come and see me later. I want to talk to you. God loves you. All you got to do is take a step of faith if you're not saved. Anybody else, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm not a Christian. Maybe it's a young person, mom, dad, just not sure. Slip your hand. Our Father, I want to pray for those that are in the service. Those that raised your hand, those that haven't. I pray, God, that You do a work of grace in their heart. And that, Lord, they'd realize You thirsted so they don't have to thirst. People are all longing for something to be satisfy them. But I say they'll never be satisfied until they meet Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.